Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Truly, God is good. Amen. His mercy endures forever. Amen. How many know God is good?
Yeah.
How many are determined tonight?
Yeah.
I'm determined. I don't know if I'm going to go look for no golf balls. Sure ain't climbing no briar bushes. If I'm going to get about the briar bush, I'm going to give me a rig and rig it up. Amen. We bless the Lord tonight. How many did the journals? Amen. I'm not gonna police you. This is an attempt for you to police yourself. Amen. We want to get closer to God. And it's hard to get closer to God if we don't properly discipline and organize our time. Amen. If you don't discipline yourself and organize your time, then things have a way of just intruding on your time. Amen. Time that should be ordinarily used for God, things will intrude upon them. So we just encourage you, please try to keep up with the journal. Amen. And the most important thing is we want our God time to count. Amen. Did anybody not get a journal? Who didn't get a journal? Anybody? Okay. All right. Brother Juan, you get a journal? You can have this one. Amen. You got more back necessary? Got more? All right. Here's this one. Amen. Please use the journal. This will help you. Amen. The Bible says it is found in a steward that they should be found faithful. Amen. We should be found faithful. Faithful to what? The most important thing we can be faithful to is who? To God. God is faithful to us. We should at least reciprocate his faithfulness. Amen. So let us stand, and we're going to read from Acts chapter 22. Amen. Our subject tonight that we're going to deal with is when God speaks to you. Not somebody else. Yeah. When God speaks to you, amen. We need to have an ear or a mind like Samuel had, amen. When he went to Eli, and he kept telling Eli, I said, surely you called me, because I heard someone call my name. And the Bible said, Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the child. And Eli told Samuel, he said, the next time say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Can we say it together tonight? Speak, Lord,
speak, Lord,
for thy servant
heareth.
Even now, Lord, speak. Amen. We can get so busy doing our own things that many times we can miss the voice of God. Doing our own things. So tonight we say, speak, Lord, for thy servant here. Now we're going to read verses 6 through 16. Amen. Now, we're pretty familiar with the account of, we're pretty familiar with the account of Saul on the way to Damascus in chapter 9. That's from Luke's viewpoint. But tonight we're going to go over from Paul's testimony. Amen. Because Paul brings out some additional things because he heard the Lord speak to him. So that's why I say it's important to know when the Lord is speaking to you. Amen. Verse 6 reads of Acts chapter 22. Acts 22, verse 6. Do we all have it?
Amen. Amen.
Verse 6 reads of Acts chapter 22. Acts 22, verse 6. Do we all have it?
Amen.
Amen. Let us start. And it came to pass that I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus. About noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go to Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. May the Lord have blessed to the reading of the word. And the church said,
the word of the Lord is blessed already.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this is Paul's account of being on the road to Damascus. Amen. Chapter 9 is Luke's account. And we all know, they all have the account that there was a bright light. So we know there was some divine intervention. Amen. As Paul, Saul at that time, was on his way to do his own thing. Amen. The light shining around about heaven. Now everybody saw the light. Amen. We know, from the scripture, we all know that everybody saw the light. But here in verse 8 it says, well, verse 7 says, and I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecuted thou me? And I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecuted. Now, listen, they were all with Paul, amen? And how many know when God speaks, everybody should be able to hear it? Because where did he speak to Paul from? Heaven.
Yeah.
It just says spoke in his mind. Amen. So the Lord called Paul, Saul at this time, from heaven. But what God had to say to Saul, it wasn't meant for anybody else. So when God speaks to you, can I get an amen?
Amen.
So he called Saul from where? Heaven. Amen. But now let's read what the next verse says. Verse 9 says, and they that were with me saw indeed the light and were
afraid.
They knew that God, hallelujah, was on the scene. That's why it's important that you have a relationship with God. Even in church, we know when God is on the scene. But what God says to me, in his word and through the anointing, he will not say to you. Amen. Because the anointing destroys the yoke. We do not all have the same yoke. The anointing breaks down or heals the brokenhearted. We're not all brokenhearted. The anointing set at liberty those that are bound. We're not all bound. The anointing opened the eyes of the blind. Those that are spiritually blind that are walking in darkness. The anointing. We do not all have the same need. So when God speaks to you, he speaks to you. Amen. So Saul says, but they heard not the voice of him. Now that's an amazing thing. How does God call from heaven? And everybody's there. But what God had to say to Saul, only who heard it? Saul. Nobody else heard the voice of God. So it's important tonight that when God speaks to you, you know, a lot of times when you're in church, you hear God speaks to you, and then you look at somebody else, don't look at them, because he wasn't speaking to them. He was speaking to you. Amen. You know, a lot of times we like to try and camouflage God dealing with us in our situation. So when it's hitting us real hard, to ease that pain a little bit, we look at somebody else. But God wasn't speaking to them. He was speaking to you. And then we said, I knew God was speaking to them. No, he was not. Because when God spoke to Saul, nobody else heard it. Where did he call Saul from?
Heaven.
It's something about God's spirit and anointing. The word of God, the spirit, the anointing goes specifically and directly where he sends it. So you got all that crowd. Now it said they saw the light and they all were what? Afraid and were trembling. But they didn't hear the voice. Because what God had to say to Saul, it was not meant for them to hear. Can I say get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. So Saul goes on to say, and when I that's why Samuel said, Lord, speak. Lord, I've been struggling and wrestling with something for a long time, and I haven't told nobody. Hallelujah. But Lord, when you speak, all I can say is, Lord, speak for thy servant. You know the good thing about God? God's not going to tell you something for someone else unless you're in the prophetic office. How many know ain't too many prophets today? Unless God is using you in a prophetic office, he's not going to tell you anything for anybody else. So a lot of people are under the misconception when they're in church and God is speaking. When they were speaking, God told me something for you. No, he did not. Because God does not work like that. God doesn't work like that. How is God speaking? Your spirit bears witness. But it wasn't for them. It was meant for you. Let me see if I can find this. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This just came to me. I haven't done this in a while. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and I pray by the time you get there, I'll find it. When God speaks a word of prophecy, the word of anointing, amen, he doesn't speak to you for somebody else. But when he speaks to you for you. Amen. That's why you have to have an ear to hear when God speaks to you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Let me find this real fast. I'm going to find it really quick. I think. Prophesy. Okay, let's go to verse 24. Now, when God is prophesying, and there are prophecies that God does, when God used the word prophecy, the prayer will go up, God will send an answer back. But when God sends an answer, you know, a lot of times we're in church, oh, God spoke to me for you. Well, I'm going to tell you what prophecy, when God speaks to you and it speaks for someone else, this is how you know that God is speaking. Not because of what you know and because of your influences, amen. So, verse 24 says, but if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. Now we're talking about what? Prophecy. When God speaks. And thus are the what? The secrets of what? His heart made manifest. So falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. So how do you know when it's prophecy? When God reveals the secret things. You know someone has been struggling and dealing with issues. Say, God spoke to me. No, God does not speak to you about someone else's issue when you're in church. Because he speaks to you for you. Now in the world of prophecy, God will use a prayer and then send an answer. But the reason that you know it's a prophecy, because it reveals a secret in you that nobody knows but you and God. And the scripture said, because the person realized the spirit of the anointing, they will fall down and worship God. That's when God is speaking to someone in church. But when you hear the word of anointing, stop looking around. You're so busy trying to help somebody else, you're missing what God has to say to you. Amen. So Saul said, when the Lord spoke, let's go back to Acts 22. When the Lord spoke, no one heard what God said to Saul, but who? That's when God speaks to you. Even in church, even in prayer, we become so spiritually minded. Do you know you can be a spiritual busybody? Listen, don't get quiet. I don't mess with y'all too much. But you can be a spiritual busybody. So spiritually helping somebody else, you get weak yourself. Amen. That's why the Bible said we ought not to be busybody in what? Other man's business. In Thessalonians, I believe it's chapter 5 or chapter 4. It talks about being involved with everybody else's business. Amen. I'm not going here long, but I'm saying when you're in church, when you hear the word of God, don't look around. Because God will not speak to you for someone else. Unless you all are in a prayer union and we're praying for something, and then God will send the confirmation. But it's a misconception that God spoke to you for somebody else. You know what God was speaking to? You. Amen. Just like he did Saul. So it said, they heard the voice which said nothing. And I said, what shall I do? He didn't ask what he wanted everybody else to do. He was very specific. That's why the Bible says, work out who's salvation. Tonight, I wonder, whose salvation are we working on? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. So when you hear the anointing, he's speaking to you. When I hear the anointing, God is speaking to me. It would be bad for us to be in church. And I've heard people say this, oh, as he was speaking, all I could see was this person in my mind. You just missed everything God had for you. You missed everything God had for you because you saw them and God's knocking on the door of your heart. Did you ever read in the scripture where God knocks on the door of your heart to get somebody else's attention? Amen. He said, behold, I stand at the door and if who will open? You. So you're in church. Stop trying to open somebody else's door. That's a spiritual busybody. When God speaks to you. I couldn't wait to get out of church to tell you what God showed me about you. Well, if it didn't come through the word of prophecy to reveal the secrets of your heart, as we read in Corinthians, and he falls down and you know when God speaks to you. Hallelujah. You know when God says, oh my God, it had to be God because nobody else did. You have no choice but to worship. Now what we do, if we drive a spiritual wedge between brothers and sisters and saints in the church, telling what God is telling you for somebody else, God does not work like that. Amen. So the next time somebody said, well, God showed me this about you, you know what you do? They used to say, what did you say? The kids say, show the hand. What? I forgot how that goes.
Speak to the hand.
Oh, speak to the hand. That's it. When they start talking, put it up, speak to the hand. God don't work like that. Amen. I know a show the hand to do something. I saw somebody that's like, what does that mean? Speak to the hand. God doesn't work like that, saints. What God has to say, he says it to you. Amen. You know, and a lot of times people, we would be in church and the word would go forth and then somebody would say, oh, did you hear what God was saying to you? You can't. That's not how God works, saints. God doesn't tell you something for somebody else. I just couldn't wait to get home and call you to tell you. No. God wasn't speaking to you for someone else. When God speaks to you, he speaks to you. So Paul said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord said, arise and go into Damascus, and there shall be told thee of the things which are appointed for thee. So even after God had spoke, he still did not tell Saul all. Because God has an order. Amen. God gets your attention, then he sends you to spiritual leadership to confirm what you've heard to get you in the right direction. So you say, well, why couldn't God have told Saul all at that time? Because God has a chain of command. All God wants to do is get your attention. Then after he gets your attention, he said, now that we've got you to sit still long enough, I'm going to send you to the man or woman of God that can help you out. Amen? So we're going to find out about Ananias in a little bit, what kind of man he was. Amen? Verse 11 said, and when I could not see for the glory of the light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And what Ananias, what kind of man was he? Now God's not going to send you to somebody else that's struggling worse than you are. Amen? What kind of man was he? That means he was a godly man. He was a godly man. Oh, I need help. God won't send you to someone that needs help like you need it. Amen. He didn't send Saul to anybody. And notice, I'm kind of curious. Why didn't he send Saul to one of the apostles? Huh? Why didn't he send them to one of the apostles for direction when Peter had the keys and James was the head of the church in Jerusalem? Right? But God sent him to a devout man. Amen. Because you know why? If he had sent him to one of the apostles, in their spiritual prejudice, in their spiritual biasness, they would say, no, Lord, I can't go to that man. Hey, listen, after Saul's conversion, the Bible said, then had the church what? Rest. Saul was making havoc of the church. They didn't even have rest. So God could not send him to the spiritual leadership because spiritual leadership had put up blinders. They could not perceive God. So God had to speak to someone outside of the spiritual leadership who had not put on spiritual blinders, but he was still a what kind of man? He was a devout man that could hear from God. Amen. Well, how do we know he was devout? Now let's keep going. And man, according to the law, having good report of all the Jews, what did he do? He came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, you know when somebody's helping you. Amen. How did Ananias know he was blind? Because who told him? God. So in order for you to open somebody else's eyes, if you don't know what's going on, that means God has to lead you as a devout individual to help somebody else out. And his eyes did not get open until God sent Ananias to Saul. So for 3 days and three nights, the Bible said he ain't drinking no water, he ate no food, and he could not see. But then God led a devout man. Now, you know God is speaking to someone else when they can tell you your problem and they didn't know it. The secrets of their heart are what? Revealed. So when they're speaking, you know, and in the spirit, they're telling you something. You say, you know what? This is God. But when they're just telling you what you already know, that ain't God. And God does not operate like that. Amen. So when God speaks to you, he's speaking to you for you. Amen. Even husband and wives are going to, I'm so glad you were here. You know, you ever hear somebody go say, you should have been in church tonight, the word is for you. It was for them, they should have been there.
That's right.
Amen? I'm just saying, when we're spiritual busybodies, well, you know, good thing, we don't have to worry about that in our church. We got to put this on the internet for other people. But just in case. Just in case. It might apply to you. God will not speak to you. You have no rest. You have no peace. You have no comfort. Your spirit is stirred. And God is always speaking to you about somebody else, not God. Amen. Because when God, first he had to set you free before you can have somebody else. Notice, so he did not send Saul to a person that was ungodly. He didn't send Saul to a person that was bound. He sent him to what kind of man? A devout man. A godly man. So Ananias said, open your eyes. And the same hour I looked upon him. And he said, the Lord God of our father has chosen thee. Now he's telling Saul. Now, couldn't God have told Saul all this when he stopped him? Right? Think about it. Why didn't God? He stopped him. Amen. On the road to Damascus. And the Bible said God was speaking to Saul how? One-on-one. But he had to first get his attention. But God's order is now for you to be converted, you have to go through the man of God. So God first has to stop you. But that's just the beginning. God said, okay, now I have an order. The scripture says, let everything be done how? Decently and in order. So the God's order, you know why? Because if God had told Saul everything else, guess what? He would have had no witness.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Doesn't the Bible say out of the mouth of what? So in order for the brethren to know that God had delivered Saul, he had to have a witness. I'm trying to figure out how so many people in the church get all these revelations but God don't have no witness. Amen? God has an order. So when it's out of order, he don't need anybody. I said, whoa. How God tell me? Well, has anybody else got this? No, this is a special revelation. Time to do what? Speak to the end. Is that a good saying or what? What's that mean? Is that right? I got to be careful with that stuff. You get yourself in trouble speaking this stuff. You know. Amen. But just tell him stop. How about that? Amen. You know, don't. I want God to speak to me. But I'm going to tell you something about God's order. Now, if somebody hasn't been in church in about 5 weeks, don't have a prayer life, don't read their Bible, very rare when God speak to them to help you out. Because before you can help somebody else, you have to help yourself first. Amen. Amen. So God's not going to, you know, some people are so fired up to tell everybody what God says. Say, well, when was the last time you was in church? Oh, well, all of this has happened. Well, God does not worry like that. Amen. So God gets Saul's attention. He sends Ananias. And Ananias says to him, he said, you are a chosen vessel, chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his what? Will. And see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and what thou hast seen and heard. Now Luke doesn't give us this next account of what happened after Ananias. God has order. Amen. So after he opens his eyes, after he tells him, gives his commission for what God tells him to do, the next verse says that he arise thou. Oh no, I can't see that. That's cut off. He says, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be what?
Baptized.
God has order. Rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And it came to pass that when I was coming into Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a
trance.
God has order. So after he saves him, after he's baptized, he goes to Jerusalem and he's in a trance. And then God tells him, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the. God had a plan for Saul's life. Amen. But when God spoke to Saul, he spoke to who? Saul. He didn't speak to anyone else for Saul. So God is preparing Saul for the things he's going to do. Now let's go to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. This is another account of Saul telling what God did for him. Amen. Acts chapter 26, and let's start off with verse 13. We already know he was on the road to Damascus. Is that right? We all know that, right? So verse 13 says, at midday, O king, I saw in the way of light. And verse 14 says, and when we were all fallen to the earth, who heard the voice?
Saul
heard the voice. They all what? Fell to the earth. See, they all recognized the presence of God, but only one heard the voice. When God speaks to you. Amen. Though Eli, Samuel, and the imagine his son were in the temple when God was speaking, guess who heard the voice? Only Samuel heard the voice. Because God is a specific God, and God speaks to every need. So how do we know that only Samuel heard the voice? Because the next day Eli said, Samuel, what did the Lord say to thee? Amen. So even though Eli was a spiritual leader, God spoke specifically to Samuel. So Eli did not know what God had said to Samuel until Samuel told him. When God speaks to you, he speaks to you. Amen. So it's important to have an ear to hear. Did not Jesus say, have an ear to hear what the Spirit was saying to the church, the seven churches of Asia, all in it with the same thing. Let him that have an ear to hear what the what? When we're in church, now there's the Spirit of God speaking, and then there's the spirit of the adversary trying to confuse the Spirit of God. Every time we come to church, God is speaking. Amen. But the devil, how many know he comes to church? How many know he meets you at the door? But God suppresses the spirit if we yield to God's spirit. But if we come to church with a whole lot of mess in our mind and a whole lot of other stuff, when God is speaking, then the devil smoke screens the spirit. Because you can't hear from God because you have other things that are entertained in your mind. So what God said or meant for you, you missed it because you're dwelling on something else. Amen. That's why the Bible said, give no place to the devil. Amen. If you read it, I believe it's in Ephesians chapter 4. It talks about the type of wrath, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Then it follows up about give no place to the devil. Amen. You do not want to open the door. Even coming to church, don't come to church, man. go to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm just going to read this right quick. Just so we know that there's a right way to hear God's voice. If you come to church wrong way, you're not going to hear his voice. You can't live wrong all the time and think I come to church and, oh, I just based in the spirit. Absolutely not. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Then we'll come back to this. Amen. And don't worry, I'm staying close to the clock. I'll be close to it. Hey, did somebody turn the clock ahead on me? All right, let's go. Then we talk about, are we trying to be saved? Are we trying to do the right thing? Amen. Let's go to we're going to start off in verse 18. Amen. We talk about how, we'll go to verse 17. We're talking about the right mind when you come to church. All right? The right mind when we come to church. Amen. My time is running out, so I'm going to kind of speed this up. Amen. Because I get discouraged if y'all start walking out on me. I have to tell the ushers when they see at those council conventions, lock the doors. Don't let them out. Amen. Verse 17. This I say therefore and testify how? I'm not in myself. That ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. You know you're not walking to God when you're walking how? In the vanity of your you come to church, your mind is so vain and messed up. You're not walking like God. You're not hearing the testimony of the Lord because you're walking the wrong way. You're walking, that vanity means emptiness. Amen. You know what? Anytime you come to church and you got an empty vessel before you get to church, and you get all messed up before you get to church, you can be guaranteed you're going to miss God's mind. I don't care how. I don't care how much you pray and shout. You were messed up before you got here. If you didn't come and pray and spend some time with God to get that foolishness out your mind, you're still in the vanity of your mind. And you won't hear from God. How do we know? We keep going. Amen. Verse 18 said, having the understanding, when you walk in your mind, your understanding is darkened. So God is speaking, but guess what? God speaketh once, yea, twice. But man, because that mind was messed up. So you're missing what God has to say. We're missing what God has to say. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in because of the. So it says, when you come, your mind is messed up. Your understanding is dark. You know what an alien is? It's something that's strange. Amen? E.T. and all them other things. I don't even watch them demons. I look at that stuff, I say, I have a nightmare if I look at that stuff walking around with all kind of heads and stuff like that, but it's all right if you like it. All right. Those are aliens. Amen? Just to understand, he said that when you come to church all messed up, you're like one of those aliens. You don't know God. And God don't know you. Because of the vanity of your mind, because your understanding is heart account. So you don't know God. You don't understand how to walk like God because of the blindness of your heart and mind. Amen. And verse 19 said, who being past feelings. You know, today you have to say, man, you know, people used to be kind of soft-hearted, tender-hearted. Women today are worse than men. Ouch. I said it for you. Ouch. They can cut you up, spit you out, and don't think twice about it. And men are just as bad. It says they're past feelings. The church is supposed to be able to chew somebody up, run them down, and you don't have no feelings. The minds and spirits, the minds are vain, and their dark understanding is darkened. Amen. They don't walk like God, and they don't even have no feelings. I heard my uncle say, the church needs more tender-hearted people. Amen. We need more tender. Past feelings? You can cut somebody up, spit them, chew them, and then after you finish chewing them and they already cut them bleeding, you go back and get them some more. God forbid, not in church. Hello, but all right. Somebody said, keep moving. I'm just telling you like it is. You can't. But we're going to get down to what it leads to ultimately, man. Verse 20 said, when you have not so learned, when you act like that, you have not. Now, I'm going to give you permission. Look at somebody and say, if you act like that, you ain't learning Christ. When you act ungodly and have no feelings, no compassion, no mercy, no kindness, you ain't learning Christ. Amen. Because the Bible said Christ was touched with all the feelings of our infirmities. So you can't come to church and act like Christ and talk about, I'm a Christian. Christian means what? Christ-like. So you come to church and can't wait to tell somebody else off and tell everything about them. You have not learned. You ain't learning. Your understanding is dark. You are alienated from the life of God. Amen. If so be that you have heard of him and have been taught by him as you're going to learn a lot of Jesus. Now, he said, now, you know how you can get past all that? That you have to do what? Put some stuff off. Amen. I know this is summertime. We've been putting a whole lot of stuff off. But we ain't talking about that kind of stuff. Amen. We talk about putting off the what? The old man. Amen. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the conduct, the old man, which is what? Corrupt according to the and be. We're trying to learn Christ. We're trying to be pleasing to God. Where does it start off at? In the, not in the mind, but in the what? Spirit of your mind. What's that spirit? God. Amen. Being transformed by the renewing of your mind. How does your mind get transformed? How does it get renewed? Through the what? Spirit. A lot of people are trying to get transformed, but they're trying to do it with their own power. No, sir. No, man. Your transformation comes through the Spirit. Amen. Wherefore, putting away lying. Now, let's see. Let me go back up first. Let's identify. Can we identify some of the correct characteristics of the old man? I'm going to cut off in a minute because I'm already on the whole time. But can we identify some characteristics? Do we have permission? Say, well, I don't know. What are you talking about, the old man? Amen. Oh, well, that man means man and woman. Just so y'all know. Don't think we're talking only to the men. Amen. All right, that you put off concerning the old man. And that you put on the what? New man. So we have to take off some old man and take off some old self in the old man. And when we get a new mind, we be put on the what? New man, which after God is created in righteousness. Now that he puts that, I believe that's an adjective before holiness. What kind of holiness?
Truth.
So everything that's turned to be holy in church ain't true. Because for you to have true holiness, you have to have a right mind. Well, how do we know if we have a wrong mind? Can we do the wrong mind test?
Yes.
Amen. The wrong mind test starts off in verse 25. This is the wrong mind. Putting away wrong mind. Speaking to every man
truth
with not just yourself. I know the truth. You got to speak the truth with who?
Amen.
So when you're talking to your neighbor, we're trying to identify who? The old man. We're trying to identify what is not true holiness. Lying, speaking the truth with your neighbor. Amen. I do not want to. I can't go to all these scriptures. Wow. How y'all take away all my time? So we're speaking the truth with our neighbor, right? I'm just going to go here for real fast. Go to Galatians chapter 5 now. See, I'm kind of off my notes. But can I say in the spirit? I'm going to say that anyway. Yeah, I'm going to stay there. I'm gonna take some time. And what we'll do is next time Ella Mackey preach, we take away his time. No. Amen. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Now we're speaking the truth with who? With our neighbors. Is that right? Amen. We're speaking the truth with our neighbors. Now let's go to verse 12 of Galatians chapter 5. Amen. Then we're going to come back to Ephesians. I'm going to finish in Ephesians chapter 4. And guess what? I haven't touched none of my notes. Somebody say, we'll take it next time. If the Lord says so. Amen. Verse 12 says, I would that ye were even cut off, which anything that's troubling you, you got to do what? Cut it off. If it's not giving you peace and joy and righteousness and the Holy Ghost, you need to cut it off. Amen. Cut off. Cut it off. And we weren't supposed to go this way, but can y'all say, Pastor, as long as you're on the horse, don't let him buck you off. I ain't gonna let him buck me off, all right? Amen. It says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by what? We're doing what? Serving one another by love. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thy. Now we're supposed to speak the truth to who? Our neighbors. Amen. The apostles, the disciples, asking, who's my neighbor? Anyone within your vicinity is your neighbor. Amen. Said, but if he what? Can we read this together? But if ye bite and take heed that ye be not. He said, the reason that you're acting like that is because you're not walking in the Spirit. This I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill. So we should speak the truth of our neighbor. But if you are, you can't. Did I hear somebody say we're in church? And we're putting off who? The old man. I'm boring y'all now. I'm gonna stay here for a minute. You gotta put that stuff off. When you start biting and devouring, just running somebody down, wrong. You're out of the spirit, you're in the flesh. You are past feeling. And did not Paul tell the Ephesian brother, you have not learned Christ? You need to be renewed again in the spirit of your mind. Amen. All right, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to finish up here. Amen. So what for putting away that we identify what? Lying. Speak truth. Speak every truth with his neighbors. For we are members. Members don't bite the vow. Be angry and. It's all right to get angry. But you are not to. That's what my wife was telling me in dealing with situations. She said, be angry, but be godly. That's what it means. You can be angry, would be righteously indignant. As the neighbor across the street, down the hall, and 10 doors down, is not supposed to hit you. You can be angry, but you're not supposed to
sin.
Amen. That does not glorify God. Amen. So it says, be angry and sin not. And the most important thing is, you man. Now, you know what God said? God said, I'm going to give you like 12 hours to get over that. So you got mad this morning at 5 in the morning. Don't let the what? The sun is usually up how many hours? 12. You know what God said? Get over it. You're not supposed to let that anger burn and then the sun go down and rise again to the same anger? You have not learned Christ. You have not learned true holiness. You have not crucified the old man. Amen. But the old man is well alive on planet Earth. You need to crucify that. You need to bury him. Amen. And listen, when you bury an old man, when you get up the next morning, you should see a new you. Amen. If you get up the next morning, you've been seeing the same you that you've been seeing, you have not learned Christ. You haven't heard when God spoke to you. When God spoke to Saul, Saul humbled himself. He said, Lord, what will you have me? That's how you know you've heard from God, when you surrender your will to his will. As long as your will takes precedence over God's will, you have not heard from God. And you won't submit. Well, all that ends in this. Because when you do all those ungodly things, you're doing what? Giving place to the devil. Amen. That's enough of that. Lord willing, that's why I keep, a lot of times I do all these notes. I've been trying to figure out how these preachers preach from notes. I never get to my notes. I got a book full of notes because, you know what, it's more important to be led by the Spirit. I heard a preacher say, well, I got my message for Sunday on Thursday. Good God, I do that too. I actually had two for the day. Didn't use either one of them. But you know why? Because it's so important tonight. We need to be saved. And in order for us to be saved, we must personally be able to hear when God is speaking to us. Anger, and wrath are two destructive enemies of salvation. Anger and wrath is so bad. Did not James say, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to? Why? Because the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You can read about that in James chapter 1 on your own time. If you get a person that's mad all the time, can go from a calm temperature to a boiling temperature in seconds, they're not going to work God's righteousness. It just will not happen. Amen. That's why I used to have a problem with anger. Still got a problem, but I'm working on it in certain situations. But you know, you can be guaranteed when we get angry and we don't control that wrath, God will not be glorified, and what you do will not be. Let me give you a simple explanation. Can I bring our explanation to the 21st century as we all stand? Let me give you a simple explanation. Anytime you hop and fly off the temple all the time, you act ungodly. That's what that means in simple, plain English. When you fly off the temple and can just spew out poisons, we had a friend, he used to call it this way. He was from another country. So he could not really adequately explain. He went from Jamaica, Minnesota, Philadelphia, so don't worry about it. He's from another country. He couldn't adequately explain people that always tell somebody off. Some of y'all would be doing this. So he used to call them poison lectures. He's like, they gave me a poison lecture. What? What's a poison lecture? He just telling somebody off all the time. Well, if you're like that, if all you can ever do is just tell somebody off all the time, that's not God. And the wrath of man. Now I'm going to have to live, I'm going to change it around. It says the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. The wrath of man will never work the righteousness of God. We need to learn Christ. We need to crucify the old man. We need to be renewed in the spirit of, in our mind. And we need to say, Lord, whatever it takes. Anybody really want to be saved? I'm not talking about a show salvation. I'm not talking about saved for somebody else. I'm talking about true holiness. I'm talking about true righteousness. Anybody really want to be saved? For above all else, I must be saved. And this is when you know that you've taken off all the restraints. Lord, whatever. Lord, thank you. Lord, whatever you have to do to me. Glory to God. Don't let me be lost for eternity. For above all else, Lord, I take away the restraints. Lord, I take away what I want. And Lord, I just want a mind to surrender. Whatever you have to do to me, Lord, don't let me be lost. You know, you know what it means to be lost for eternity? You know, Adam and Eve had a bad because they were separated from God when they were put out the garden. But that was hope. If you die in your sin now, there's no hope. There's not another chance. Tonight is the night, as the elders and the ministers and the altar workers come forward. Tonight is the night. Are you truly saved? Do you have true holiness? Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you walking in the truth? You know, God knows, and the devil knows. And see, what the devil would do is he just said, you know what, nobody can care. They've been telling you the same thing, you know, this one thing Peter said. This is what the scoffers say. Everything has been going like it always has been. They keep saying Jesus is coming. This is what the scoffers are saying. But the Bible says God is long patient and long suffering, not willing that any should perish. God is reaching out to those that are not right. Can we say, let's make it right? Now, when God speaks to you, don't go home and tell somebody what God told you for them. He's speaking to you.